Vritash, Srotra, Sparshish, Vastrishta, Vastushu, Tasmat Karamashu Barahishman, Agyanad Artakashishu, Marta Drishtim Katashrotra, Sparshish Vasprishta Vastusu, Tasmat Karamashu Barahishman, Agyanad Artakashishu, Martha Drishtim Kritashrotra, Sparshish Vasprishta Vastushu,
Therefore,
Paramasu,
in fruit of activities,
Barhishman,
O King Pachina Barhishat,
Agyanat,
out of ignorance,
Artakashishu,
in the glittering fruit of result,
Ma,
never.
Artha Drishtim,
considering to be the aim of life.
Krita,
do.
Shrotra
Sparshishu,
pleasing to the ear.
Asprishta,
without touching.
Vastushu,
real interest.
Translation. My dear King Barhishman, you should never, out of ignorance, take to the Vedic rituals or to fruit of activity, which may be pleasing to hear about or which may appear to be the goal of self-interest. You should never take these to be the ultimate goal of life. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita 2:42-43, it is said, Yam imam pushpitam vacham pravadantya vipaschita vedavada ratak parta nanyad astiti vadina kamat mana suraga para janma karma falapradam kriya visesha bahulam bogaishwaryam gatim prati. Men of small knowledge are very much attracted to the flowery words of the Vedas, which recommend various fruit of activities for elevation to heavenly planets, resultant good birth, power, and so forth. Being desirous of sense gratification and opulent life, they say that there is nothing more than this. Generally, people are very much attracted to the fruit of activities sanctioned in the Vedic rituals. One may be very much attracted to becoming elevated to heavenly planets or performing great sacrifices, like those of King Barhishman. Sri Narad Muni wanted to stop King Barhishman from engaging in such fruitive activities. Therefore, he is now directly telling him, do not be interested in such temporary benefits. In modern civilization, people are very much interested in exploiting the resources of material nature through the methods of science. Indeed, this is considered advancement. This is not actually advancement, however, but is simply pleasing to hear. Although we are advancing according to such concocted methods, we are forgetting our real purpose. Bhakti Vinod Thakur therefore says, Jada Vidya, Yata Mayara, Vaibhava, Tomara Bhajane Badha. Materialistic studies are the glare of Maya only, for they are an obstacle to spiritual progress. The temporary comforts of life experienced either on this planet or on other planets are all to be taken as illusory because they do not touch the real purpose of life. The real purpose of life is to go back home, back to Godhead. Ignorant of the real purpose of life, people take to either gross materialist activities or ritualistic activities. King Barhishman is herein requested not to be attached to such activities. In the Vedas, it is stated that the performance of sacrifice is the actual purpose of life. A section of the Indian population, known as the Arya Samajists, lay too much stress on this sacrificial portion of the Vedas. This verse indicates, however, that such sacrifices are to be taken as illusory. Actually, the aim of human life should be God realization or Krishna consciousness. The Vedic performances are, of course, very glittering and pleasing to hear about, but they do not serve the real purpose of life. So here, Maharaj Barhishman, he's a nice person, a good person. You know, a moral person, upstanding person. You know, a good member of the community, good leader of the community. He does good work. He benefits the people. So far, it sounds good. Problem is that it's not, the Lord is not included in this equation. This is the problem. Difficulty is because you were using words, and because for the purpose of interaction, words have to have a variety of meanings and usages. So because of that, then things become confusing. Prabhupada is saying the purpose of human life is sacrifice. Then at the same time he says overemphasis on sacrifice, you know, distracts from the actual purpose of life. So how does this work? Problem is that there's the words that are used as the medium, there's the intent and with which it's done, right? So one may argue over the words, nice. You know, as long as you actually, you know, have some grounding and, you know, grammar, logic, rhetoric, then it's okay. At least you're following your skill. But the difficulty is this element of intent is much of the time left out. And unless, of course, it's in our favor, their intent is bad, even though it wasn't. Then, of course, we're going to lay the emphasis on intent because the activity they do is good, but we'll say their intent is bad. They come up, say, oh, hi, Hari Ball, how are you today? This, that. You know, what's their motive? Why are they doing this? They're never nice to me. Why are they nice to me today? You know, it's just Vaishnava etiquette, right? You know, so, but does that make sense? So this thing of intent, we use it according to our own pleasure, right? And when the particular meanings of the words, right, the semantics of the words have advantage for us, then we'll use that. So much of the time, due to this practice, sometimes it's hard to understand what the scripture is talking about, what authority is saying. So here then, he's pointing out that these fruitive activities are bad. They're useless, basically not so important. So now we're going to, naturally we would take that, okay, that means it's the activity itself, the situation of that activity, that's what's bad. Right? And so anything connected with that, that should be thrown out. Then we have removed fruitive activity. But actually, we've missed the whole point if this is what we do. Because the fruit of activity is the result and what we do with the result. Right? That you have a situation in which you perform an activity that gives a result, that's not fruit of activity. Fruit of activity is when you take that result and use it for yourself because you identify as the controller and enjoyer of that result. That's fruit of activity. You go into the kitchen, you cook, and the result is for you, that's fruit of activity. You go into the kitchen, you cook, and the result's for Krishna, that's not fruit of activity. So this is where it becomes confusing. Prabhupada here says, you know, Varnashram is, you're not human if you don't follow Varnashram, but then he criticizes the followers of Varnashram that they've missed the point of human life. Right? So generally speaking, from what I've generally seen, is most take it that Varnashram isn't important. Rituals aren't important. Cleanliness isn't important. Anything to do with the mode of goodness is not important. Because Prabhupada talks about its importance, but at the same time then talks most of the time, he'll open with one sentence saying it's important, and then spend two paragraphs trying to explain how not to misuse it. And so by volume, right, means numbers wins, right? So, therefore, he's more against it. Therefore, today, after 40 years, people are going, what is this Varnashram? You know, what is it? Does this have any meaning in devotee's life? Like that? So, we have to catch the depth of what's being said here. Is that your daily activities that you're performing that are necessary, perform them to please Krishna. Those activities that you don't have to do, that they're extra activities simply for benefiting yourself by extra facility, those are the rituals and that are given up. Right? He's doing these ashrameda yajnas, all this and that. Most devotees aren't doing that. Not that I've heard of. Right? You know, the Shraddharites, all these, that I haven't heard of anybody doing them. You know? I mean, we're basically at our wits' end, you know, hands, mouth, and feet after eating or going to the bathroom. That's kind of like, you know, the top end of ritual. You know? And so these kind of things, it's like, it's way beyond. You know? So we're not doing that. So we take it, fruit of that means any ritual. Give up the ritualistic activities. Why? Because we think the ritual is what causes it. Karmakanda means, or karma mimamsa means that I do the ritual, I get the result. So it's all about me. I did the work, I get the result. Right? I worked all week and I went to work all week. Where's my paycheck? Right? It's business. That's what we're thinking of is there. But the point is it's not like that. It's that you do the activity that is recommended by the Lord. Then by doing that, you get the Lord's blessings. That's why you get the results. But in illusion, we like to leave the Lord out of the equation. Right? That's always easier because then it's just one more person to consider. Right? It's already enough trip. Right? Your own mind. Then you have your family. Then you have friends, the community. You have your boss. You know, you have everything else there. Why do we have to add in one more? And this one is quite big, right? So it's kind of... Does that make sense? So the difficulty will come up is that we might interpret this that giving up the ritualistic activities means giving up anything that has any ritual to it. Right? Achman, that's a ritual. So he says here, give it up. You know, offering the food or sitting down and no, it's just like that. You know, it doesn't work like that. You sit down, everybody like that. Right? Because it's ritual. We're not supposed to be into ritual, Prabhu. But at the same time, as that's okay. If we're gonna take it that far, okay, great. But we're picking up a book by a mundane author that you found on a shelf, and above it said self-help. And we don't mind following those rituals to the letter. In fact, we have it memorized. We know the jargon, we know the things, we know all their examples. Why that's not karmakanda? I mean, why that's not fruitive activities? Right? The success books, it means fruitive activities, right? Just we use that so it understands is that fruitive, I want the result. But success means that's what you want. You want the success. It's fruitive. But somehow, because we change the words, oh, then it's okay. Oh, that's just part of our life, then it's okay. So we have to be very, very careful that we don't use this kind of, we don't miss out on these things. You want to catch all the rituals, great, do it. Catch them all. Right? But then that's called sitting under a tree and chanting Hare Krishna all day. Right? So, the idea of what he's giving here, Narad Muni, is trying to take it deeper. That it's not really a change in your lifestyle or activities, it's a change in your perception of it. If I'm the servant of Krishna, therefore, any activity that necessarily has to be performed, the result of that's for Krishna. Right? That's what it means. So the lifestyle doesn't change. Otherwise, it's, oh, we have to give it a Vedic, it doesn't, not practical. But the point is it's, you don't get more, means, where is it that you have, you know, a science, means if the science somehow, or modern science by observation, is beneficial to our life, but the science of given in the Vedas, oh, that's archaic. How is it you're observing the same thing? Right? Newton's law was there before Newton came along. Right? I think most people know Newton more for, you know, those little cookies made with figs in them than they know him for, you know, actually his other theories. Like right. He didn't make much off that. You know, apple falls on your head, you make money? No. Can you sue the tree? No. So, you know, you got to make cookies, right? That makes money, right? You know, you got to be practical here. So people don't know all these things, right? But they were already there before. Right? So what does that mean? That means that's the science that the great sages are speaking on. But what they're speaking on, unfortunately, is in the mode of goodness. That's the real downside to the Vedic literatures, is that the activities themselves, the qualities required, is the mode of goodness. That's the weakness. Why? When the devotee said, this is not practical, just replace that with, this is in the mode of goodness, and it's like over my, it's out of my league, it's above my paycheck here. You know? That's what it means. Because it's not practical. So since when is the mode of passion or ignorance practical? It gets things done immediately. You see it here, and then down the line, it burns you. But somehow or another, due to the mode of ignorance, no one minds. Right? You know, Robespierre is up there, you know, jumping up and down, yelling and screaming, cutting off heads. And just a few short time down the head, it's his head on the pike. But they don't see it. And they do it again and again and again. Whatever is there, it's just done again and again. That's the mode of passion and ignorance. You have the drive to do it, but the ignorance that you don't notice what's going on, what's the results. So we have to understand is that these Vedic literatures are designed for human life. But they're not meant to be used not connected with Krishna. Right? right? You take the Vedic literature and you use it not connected with Krishna. That's called fruitive activity, right? You use it connected with Krishna, it's called devotional service. That's the whole thing. It means you're dealing with the original, you're dealing with the reflection. So the reflection, it's not that it's working differently, right? Mother Yashoda makes a fire, puts a pot on it, puts some ghee and stuff, and puts vegetables inside and pushes them around with a spoon, right? So why is cooking here like that? Because she does it like that. This is the reflection of that, right? So the mechanics are the same. The difference is the mentality. The difference is the material world. We think this whole process, the benefit of this science is for me. While in the spiritual world, the benefit of all the sciences and arts are for Krishna. That's the difference. Right? So we have to be very, very careful. But the mind doesn't trick us with all these little tricky little semantics on words and other things like that. That this is talking about something else. Oh yes, I'm not doing an Ashwamedha Yajna, so therefore I'm rightly situated. Okay, it's good you're not doing one, but at the same time, you really wish you had the money and social position that you could do one. Right? Otherwise, why the seminar? You know what I'm saying? Point is you have to be stinking filthy rich to do these Karmakanda Yajnas. You know, Maharaj Bargishman here is. Right? So whatever everybody on this planet is striving for, he already has. And then Narad Muni's pointing it out, that's useless. Why is it useless? It's not useless that you have so much money and position and power. The useless is that it's not connected to the Lord. You're thinking that my success in life is having these things, rather than whatever you have, use it in the Lord's service. Right? So we see, here's Prachina Bhartishat. He's the Karmakanda. His sons are out in the forest. They're doing austerities. Right? So the point is same social position, same wealth, same everything, but one's using it, you know, in a Krishna conscious way, one's not. So it's just a matter of changing the mentality. That's all that's required. Right? That's all that's required. Change the mentality, everything else adjusts. So you have to be very, very careful, because fruit of activity means I want to prosper, I want to be successful. I want money, I want facility, I want prestige. That's what it means. But the same work that you do to get that is the same activities that devotees do in service to Krishna. Right? It means we go and make a festival very big and very popular. If that popularness is for Krishna, then that's nice. If that popularness is for ourselves, that's the problem. Right? Or maybe mixed. We're doing it for Krishna, but at the same time, we want everyone to recognize what a big festival we arranged. So it's mixed. There's the element of pure devotion, and then there's the mixed. Right? So we have to recognize this. So in fruit of activities is a lot bigger. Here we're focusing it on as an example, right? You don't get much bigger fruit of activity than one of these Ashwamedha Yajnas, right? You don't really get bigger than that. So therefore, if you take the biggest, it includes all the other little things. Right? It's not that, okay, we don't do that, but everything else I do, then that's fine. No, the point is whatever you're doing, if you're trying to get a material benefit from it, Narad Muni is saying, give up that endeavor. Meaning that endeavor means my mindset that I'm the controller, I perform that activity, I get the result, I enjoy it. It doesn't mean give up the actual physical, mechanical endeavor. Right? It means give up the mentality by which you make that endeavor fruitive. Do the same endeavor, make it into devotion by doing it for Krishna. Right? So that's the thing. Never out of ignorance. So that's the idea. That when we see its connection to the Lord, right? It means it's our duties. we do them for the Lord, then it becomes perfect. Any questions? Yes.
A common problem that people are working, devotees are working very hard.
They're working very hard, but the cost of living is practically equal to what they're making. So then they're asking, well, how do I connect my work to Krishna? Because at the end of the month, I can barely pay my bills. So I give a few rupees to the temple. So then they're thinking, well, it's not connected to Krishna, because the result is just gone to pay for my house, my car, my prasadam, like that.
No, but the result is not the money. It's what you do with the money. So the result of sitting in the office is the house they're in, the car they're in, that their wife and children, you know, are fed and clothed and there's medicine. So why do they have a family? Is it fruitive or is it for Krishna? You know?
A little of both, maybe.
That's the point. So the point is that he's recommending that we focus on the part that's the Krishna conscious and be aware that of the mixed part. So it's not a matter of how much money I'm giving to the temple. It's a matter of, are the results of my whatever endeavor I'm making, is it connected to Krishna? You know what I'm saying? That's the whole point. He's giving the, you know, let's say the Thursday gift, right? I mean, we're, you know, way out there here. But then his wife is happy. She's happy for a few days, right? 3 to be exact. But why is he doing that? Now, he could be doing this simply because he likes, you know, the mood of the smiling female and the more perkiness, the more interactiveness and all that. So then that would be fruitive. But if it's a matter of when women are happy, they have a tendency to be more, have faith in religion. Therefore, they have more faith in Krishna. Then he's doing all those things because that's how women work. You have to constantly be doing things to make them, keep them happy so that they can focus on Krishna consciousness. So therefore, the householder who's doing all these things that would be considered top of the line, you know, just materialistic activities, is actually doing because that's the nature of women, family life, husband and wife, all these different things. And so you're doing that to create the best environment for Krishna consciousness. But you have to actually be thinking that. Right? Then that means it's not fruitive. Otherwise, every little thing is there. You know? You know, every question, every answer can be fruitive or not. If you're working on the science or not. So if we're saying science gives the best benefit, that's the point. You use the Vedic science. Then you get the best benefit. But that's the funny thing. We use modern science, but just sentiment, you know, in our life. So we only use science when it comes to occupation, but we don't use science in our life. And life's so much more important. So that's what the Vedic literatures are recommending. Use the science in your life. You know, it doesn't make you a nerd. It just means that you know what you're doing. So there's all kinds of things like that, right? You know, so the point is, he mows his lawn. So he can mow his lawn because he has the best lawn on the block. Everyone are there when the yearly, you know, competition comes along, then he walks away with all the prizes. So it can be a social thing, right? Or it's just a matter, he keeps his lawn nice, this and that, so people then respect and they leave him alone. So if he's a devotee, they're not going to bother him. He's successful. Right? People are worried if you become a devotee, you won't be successful. That's the main thing. If it was figured out today that those means by taking a poll and by, you know, hard statistics, that those who are practicing Krishna consciousness actually did better at the job, made more money, had a better social position, guaranteed by this afternoon, most of the planet would be chanting Hare Krishna. You know? So that's what people are worried about. They're worried about that. So if you show them, you know, hey, you know, we can do all this stuff. Because it's Krishna's lawn anyway. You know. So if you mow Krishna's lawn, then, you know, Krishna's happy. If it's your lawn, then it's up to you whether you mow it or not. Does that work?
As a preaching tactic, maybe we can fake the statistics.
Yeah.
So everyone will become devotees.
Come on, get some of those guys from St. Petersburg, you know, they can put it out there. Yes.
Well, a related question. You know, Maharaj Prabhupada would sometimes quote Chanakya, Amedhyad Apikanchana. We can take gold even from a filthy place.
Yes.
Now, the Vedic place, as you've been saying, teaches us goodness. That's the best. So, can you speak a little bit about the art, the science of practicing Yukta Vairagya, using these modern products of passion and ignorance, you know, like cars, computers, and not being contaminated by the intent, because you were talking about intent, that for which they were manufactured. It seems like a real fine line.
No, it's fine. See, that's why it's why the Vedas are talking about everything as a science, because there's a principle. So the art is in the application of the situation. So that's always going to be different, right? Because the science is the masculine principle. The art's the feminine principle. So that means that the feminine principle will always be changing. That's what creates the variety, right? So everybody, you can say that, okay, this is a group of people. These people are, they have this mentality. They're from this region or stuff. But if you go and check each one, they're slightly doing something different. They're individual. They're unique. But in principle, they have the same common element, right? So that's where the trick is. See, is much of the time when we discuss Yukta Vairagya, we're arguing over a detail. It has nothing to do with the detail. Because the point is if you're working on detail, there's a good chance you're not successful anyway, right? Or the thing is you are successful because you apply it, but you only know how to apply it in your detail. Change the situation, you're a loser. Right? So that's the thing, is that why do we have respect for, let's say, for a multinational company or someone who can lecture all over the world? Because they can apply what they're doing to the various situations. So that means they're much more smart than someone who's successful in just this area. Like that. So that's what you have to get to. Yukta Vairagya means you understand the principle of what you want to do and you see how the principle applies to the particular detail that is available and how it connects, right? So the point, that's the point. So if you're using modern amenities for that, that's fine, as long as you understand the principle on which it's working, right? So in other words, let's say I criticize a devotee, then it's Vaishnava Aparad. Somehow or another, if I do it over the internet, it's not. You know what I'm saying? So that's the point, is that we're missing that it's the same principle. Because the detail's different. I didn't say it, you know. You know, my fingers did it, you know, or something like that, you know. Bad fingers, you know, like that. You know, so it doesn't work like that. It's the principles. Then it's Yukta Vairagya. So therefore, if you're preaching here, then you can preach or increase. Or I'm managing face-to-face, if I can help the managing by doing a... Then if you're finding the principle, that's Yukta Vairagya. And then there's that's just the technique. Then there's the point is why am I doing this? Is what's my identity and what's the result for? You know, because to use the item, you still have to use it in the same way. You use a phone, you have to use it like everybody else uses the phone. Can I remember the first, I forget what it was, in the 70s or something, had one person. And he worked at the temple in Calcutta, I think it was. And so he had never used a phone, right? And then somehow or another, someone from his village called him, so that everybody was kind of amused that he's getting a phone call, right? So they called him over and that, and they phone and he's holding it like this, you know, hello? You know, like that, looking at it like, you know, is this going to eat me? What's it going to do? Like that. So, you know, the point is you want to get anything to work, you use it in the same way. That's why it comes with the manual. So The manual works despite, you know, color, creed, religion, you know, economic position, you know, anything. So, because that's the science of it. But now, how you apply that, that makes it either the fruitive or the devotional. So when devotees will say, no, Yukta Vairagya, that's not a problem. It's our philosophy, actually. Right? It's being presented as if it's a Western paradigm and the Vedic is going against it. No, Yukta Vairagya is actually a Vedic thing. And so then the point is, but still, is it devotional or is it fruitive? right? If I'm saying yukta vairagya and I'm trying to establish something for my own sense gratification, that's fruitive. If I'm using something there for Krishna, then it's not fruitive. So it's, but we become overly attracted by the activity or the form of the activity. That's the difficulty. So it, sometimes it's the attachment to that form and activity why we're inclined to use that in Krishna's service, which is fine as long as we use it in Krishna's service. But much of the time we're actually not arguing its use in Krishna consciousness, but arguing that I'm attached to this and I want to be able to do this. So you shouldn't be presenting the philosophy that makes it look like this activity that I want to do is not good. If you really look at it, that's the much of the time the bottom line. Of course, you do have someone who's fanatic on the form of Vedic. And so then you have the two, you know, how you say, stalwarts of Niyamagraha, you know, fighting with each other. So that's basically useless. But here is that, if we look at it, is that what makes it work is that but being able to work with it in a mood of sacrifice, that I'm doing this voluntarily to please someone else. Then it doesn't matter if you start initially from I'm attached to the modern, I'm attached to the Vedic. As long as it's used for Krishna, it works. That's yukta vairagya. Because even using Vedic stuff in Krishna's service is still yukta vairagya. Because it means engaging the material world in the Lord's service. Because the tendency here is to use everything, Vedic and non-Vedic, whatever you can get your hands on, and not use it for Krishna. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Then it comes out much more balanced because you have to split it between the science, art, the skill of it, you know, and then, you know, its absolute use of it, and then it's interesting to note, though, if we want to get on the technical side, is that if you're doing something and it's successful, it's because you're dealing with it in the moment, actually according to the skill that applies to it, and I'm focusing on the present to see that each additional amount of energy being put into it, it's actually getting the right results, not going off the path. So we're actually dealing in the present. So success is happening because of the mode of goodness. But because of passion and ignorance, once we get the result, we drop down to passion and ignorance to enjoy it, because it's ours to enjoy it. So all success is happening only because of the mode of goodness. The Vedas are saying, since it's so good, why not apply that to your whole lifestyle, right? Why just to the technique of your occupation, like that? Why not to, because you see, the successful people, they're regulated, they're able to deal properly, you know, they can dress nicely, they can keep, you know, good present, all mode of goodness stuff, right? You go into these, you know, big lawyers' offices and stuff like that, that they're spending, you know, $1 million a year on rent and stuff like that. It looks nice, it's clean, it's orderly, it's tidy. Like people deal nicely. You know, all these mode of goodness elements. That's why it works.
So when Goswami says, Tasivishayan, that's the first part, that's the first heavy principle, you know, when one is not attached to anything material. So in terms of the science, is that the science part? And then the next line is the art of, but at the same time, is able to engage everything in Krishna's service.
Yes, because as the Prabhupada says, that's the art of work. Means because you know the work, but until you know the art, how to apply it to the particular situation. Yeah. Because I can know the subject, mm-hmm. but unless I can apply it. So the problem comes is the practical knows the art. And then the theorist knows the science. Mm-hmm. And then they have a problem also. Everything dualistic always has a problem. Right? It's being able to see that they're one thing, two aspects of one thing. Then it works. Like if you only see the energy, it's a problem. You only see God, it's a problem. Right? Because then you get the Brahmavadis and the Shaktas. But when you see them two together, then you can see Radha and Krishna.
Thank you. This is a great analysis of that verse. Thank you, Mara.
Thank you. Anything else? Yes. He's following the finger. So he has to go to the finger and then go to the...
Harsh Marsh. I have a question on the practicality of washing after eating. and washing after eating. A lot of us are wearing socks and shoes right now, so to take off.
Let's start with the mouth.
Okay.
Let's just start there.
Okay, we'll start with the mouth.
So does it have an advantage?
Yes.
What are the advantages?
Cleanliness.
Cleanliness. Okay, so cleanliness is good. Uh-huh. So then why not keeping everything clean is good? You know what I'm saying?
Yes, but
the point is that your socks, if you eat and you walk around where you eat, they're dirty. So disease comes from dirt, right? Lower consciousness comes from that. People get bothered by ghosts. It comes from that. You know, that the modes are lower, then your interaction with people is reduced. So many things, right? And does the body just work on the gross? Or is there some subtle aspects also? Right? Means the whole bottom of your foot, right, means according to the subtler things, all the organs and everything and the functions of the body are represented at the bottom of the foot. So you don't think the washing of that has something to do with the rest of the body working? The hands also are the same thing. Right? All the energy comes from the mouth. While you're chewing the food in the mouth, you get the energy, according to the Yoga Shastra. When you swallow it, that's what bulks out the body. That's why yogis chew so much, right? But we'll think that's not practical. You know, in other words, the basis is anything that's work is not practical. You know, because according, if we take that theory to the limit, then breakfast in bed, then that would be perfection, right? You know what I'm saying? So there's more things at work here, you know? Because even when you get into, are the socks wool? No. So then where's the question of even considering possible cleanliness? You know what I'm saying? So the point is we don't consider all these elements of cleanliness because we can't do it in something as fundamental as that. We can't see cleanliness in our dealings. Cleanliness in our work. Because pure work means non-fruitive. Right? Pure activities, it means interactions or relationships, means it's for the other's benefit. But the whole consideration why I don't want to take off the socks is that, you know, it's a problem for me. And me means how much of the body I identify with. Like, I don't know how it runs as long as it just runs. Does that make sense? So there's a lot more happening here than just the mechanics of these things, right? How many are really conscious of what they do and what they touch? That's why the rules are there. They're fairly generic rules because if you follow them, basically speaking, then you can guarantee there'll be a good standard of cleanliness because very few are that aware. Right? Whatever you, if you touch something dirty, whatever you touch becomes dirty. Most people aren't aware of that. Does that make sense? But the point is why that's there, it's because I become conscious. And if I'm conscious, I can become Krishna conscious. And if I'm Krishna conscious, then I can be favorably Krishna conscious. Right? And if I'm favorably Krishna conscious, that's the quickest way to give up karma and jnana. Right? Because it's for Krishna, so it's not for me. So that makes it very easy. Otherwise, I just have to be a really good guy and really, you know, no, I'm not doing this for myself. That'll be difficult. But if I'm doing it for someone else, it makes it easy. Right? Clean the house for myself, a problem. Clean the house for someone else, easy. You understand? So that's what we're working with here. So the whole point is that all these things make us conscious. They situate us in goodness, right? They develop good habits, you know, that are useful in the devotional process. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's why all those things are there. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the nice class. Another question which comes up, say, if I follow certain rules or I follow certain standards which are higher than the devotees I'm associating with, and I am not in the position to correct them. And somehow it doesn't match, and it kind of interferes with relationships, because somehow subconsciously I tend to look down at them.
Yeah, but then that's the fault's there. The fault's not that they're doing something different. The fault is that you're doing it because you know it's beneficial. They're not doing it. That's what, however much they understand or what works for them at the particular point. So it's just a matter of you do what you do and let them do what they do. Right? If you're in a position to give some direction, do. But if not, don't worry about it. You know. But at the same time, is if what you're doing is so obviously different than them, try to do it in such a way that it's more subtle, it's not noticed. You know, in other words, we don't bother the environment. Like Prabhupada's there in, what was it, those Agarwal's house, right, in Pennsylvania. And they had all kinds of stuff in their refrigerator, but he would just take his stuff out of the refrigerator and deal. You know, he wasn't sitting there every day, you know, going, oh my God, and this and that. No, he deals with his. He didn't even talk about it. He was just pleasant and nice. And Mataji was actually really worried that it's going to be a trip having an Indian Swami in the house. But he was just so pleasant and nice that after she thought, this is really good. You know, they gained a lot. You know, she felt very comfortable. So that's it, because it's not about us. It's not that we're superior. The souls are the same. Because that's why it comes up as a mode of passion, that the soul who follows the rules better than the soul who doesn't. Because that's a difference in soul. But the souls are the same. It's just a matter of, it's recommended to do like this because it works. So if others aren't doing it, so as long as they're sticking to the primary things, they're chanting, they're doing those primary things, then that will purify, they'll be elevated, they'll develop love for Krishna. But it will also have its side effects. If you're dealing with the material world, right? If I say, you know, if you're not careful when you're cooking, you can get burnt. And if I say, you know, like here, use these gloves, and when you pick it up, they won't get burnt. But if I don't be fanatic, you'll get burnt, you know? So it's just the material world these things are suggested, because they will have effects somewhere else. So but the point is you can still go back to Godhead even if materially it's not nice. Because we don't belong here. If it was actually devotional service based on karma, then we wouldn't, Kali Yuga would not be the age for, you know, devotional service, right? But it's despite it, because we don't belong here, is that even if someone doesn't follow all the details, but they're following the main principles, they'll still advance nicely. It'll just make their dealings in the world and their situations more comfortable if they would just follow them. And it would also, much of the time, especially in the neophyte position, it would help in their Krishna consciousness, because it establishes more of a sattvic environment that they would be, you know, to go from sattva to shuddha sattva. That's the only reason. Sattva being mode of goodness is not special, because you have to give that up also, right? So the point is it's just easier to go from goodness to pure goodness than it is to go from passionate ignorance to pure goodness. That's all. It's just, you know, it's closer. You know what I'm saying? It's like when you're doing something, you keep something close by. You know, you don't keep it on the other side of the room. So that's all. It's just I have to walk over to the other side of the room every time you get it, because, you know, like that, it's just right there. So that's why the mode of goodness is recommended. Not that mode of goodness on itself is special. It's only because it's more useful in devotional service than the other two modes.
Thank you, Maharaj. Okay.
No, we'll end here. Yes, it's quick. This is time.
Okay. I heard that...
The royal writ.
I heard that Srila Prabhupada said, what's the use of being Western if you don't do something big for Krishna?
Yes.
So I guess what's in my... What my question is, how to have that ambition for Krishna and maintain a clean motive without getting... proud or making it about me, like wanting to do something big and keep it for Krishna and not make it about me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, the point is big means you have to have the confidence, Right? It means you can have the knowledge, the skill, have the plan, but if you don't have the confidence, it doesn't happen. Right? So that's the outstanding thing, at least about the Westerners he was talking about, you know, is that they have great confidence. Right? Even if they don't really know what they're doing, somehow they're very confident. Right? Like that. So that's the point, is that, but that confidence doesn't have to come from false ego. It can come from the real ego, that I'm servant of Krishna, so now let's do something nice for him. So if you have that ability to do something big, you should do something big. You know, that's why the temple here, that's very big, right? Like that. So it's because there's that confidence to do that. Otherwise, how are you going to engage that confidence? Because if you don't use the confidence, it's either going to be used materially or it's going to implode and become, what do you call it, you know, where you lack confidence, you know?
Low self-esteem.
Because these that's the manic aspect. You know, you get one or the other. So the point is therefore, the confidence is not the problem, it's just misdirected. Now use the confidence to do something big for Krishna. Right? Since the confidence is there, right? They're going to use it anyway. You know, it's like you're going down the street and you didn't notice something, or they had something and they go by there and get too close and, hey, I'm walking here. It's kind of like, yeah, so... You know, I'm in a car. I'm about 10 times as big as you, squashy, like a bug. You know, it's like, you know, like, you know, so, you know, I'm driving here. You know, so, but whatever it is, it's all this confidence is there. Right? And it just tends to be a little misdirected. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So, answer. Jai Gruntaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samavetal Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi.